up, everybody? Coop, did you miss that music? I know you missed that music because we got Coop back after 3 weeks of honeymooning. How much did you miss us and how much did you miss that intro, Coop?
It's music to my sweet little ears, my dear JB, my sweet little cherub JB, my fantasy angel, and also Kev, who I work with all the time and I see all the time. But JB, I missed your sweet angel face and your Warren Sapp background and everything else about you. So I'm glad to be back. Kev, good to see you as well.
You were very missed, Coop. Very
missed. That might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
The nicest thing I've ever said to you, which is absolutely 100% true.
Was like four seconds ago before we went live where you talked about Gabe Davis.
No. The nicest thing I've ever said to you is that, which is 100% true, which is that right now I truly believe the best weekly article on Fantasy Alarm and honestly probably across the industry is that data article that you drop every single week, the usage article. It is incredibly useful. I check it out all the time. I reference it. It's a good article. It's a great article. So,
I agree with that wholeheartedly, Coop. I use that article and I reference it and I look at it every time that I do my DFS lineups. And when I write my DFS article, I definitely check that out before. Like if I'm ever up in the air on something, I'm like, let me check Kev's article and see what the usage was on that one. So you're absolutely right, Kev. It's a great article. It's super useful. So anybody checking us out right now, make sure you head over to Fantasy Alarm and check that out. Definitely, Kev, you know, tweets it out every week when he puts it out. So at K Tompkins II, make sure you're following.
Every Thursday morning.
Every Thursday morning, that's right. And thank you to Razzbowl, of course, for hosting us here on the Razzbowl YouTube channel. You could also find the audio of the show after the show on Razzbowl.com. Also, check out their YouTube channel for the live start sit show every Sunday morning. They do that 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's pretty cool. I hopped in there a couple of times. It's a really good show. You can ask your questions, get some start sit advice. As you know, I'm here at Fantasy Coach JB, JB Barry. I do my writing over at Razzbowl. And I got with me today, Coop is back. Boys. I got Kim over here. But Linda may be joining us. She's having some little issues getting out of work. But Loop will not be joining us this week. Loop is in the Magic Kingdom right now. Loop is in Disney. He's enjoying himself with the family. So he's taking the week off. But we're here. And we're here to talk football. Sports, right, as you like to say, Coop, right?
Sports ball.
Sports, dude. I mean, I managed to, while I was on my trip, I managed to, one way or another, talk to at least one person every single city I was in, not every country, every city, because we did multiple cities in different places, about football, at least for a little bit.
So and tell us about it, Coop. Tell us about the trip. Where'd
everywhere,
you go? Man. What'd you do? You were everywhere.
Dude, I went everywhere. Because it's like, you know, I know it's football season and all, but dude, my end goal is to spend every football season from this point on getting real deep into it. We're going to have kids soon. We're going to do a little thing. So this is my one chance to go on a little trip. I got all my articles done, but we went to Iceland, Copenhagen, Prague. Then we would do Italy, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, which you can skip. You have my permission to skip Liechtenstein. It was cool to pop in there, but not a whole lot going on.
Uno card.
Yeah. Then we went to Belgium, Amsterdam, and London. And it was a blast, man. Had a great time. Happy to be home, though. Like, it's one of those trips where I think we spent the exact perfect number of days out and about. And now we're ready to be home. And now I'm ready to rock and roll. We got football tonight.
Yes, we do. And it looked like you had a great time. I was following some of your posts. You met up with some people from Twitter also that was DJing it. I saw your wife in like a ball pit at a club.
Yeah. That was, shout out DJ Santero, man. Like, I posted some random pick and he was like, oh, I'm DJing right in that area on Saturday. I'm like, I'm not going to be there Saturday. He goes, well, I'm doing a ball pit tonight. And I was like, put me on the list, bro. And dude, he gave us the VIP. Like that moment that's reserved only for cool folks, not folks. Yeah, we're cool enough, but like, you know, where I get to walk up to the line and be like, yo, I'm on the list. And they were like, guess you are, dude. Walked right in, you know? So kind of hot shot stuff, dude. Might have had a little too many party sodas, but had a great time doing that. You know, it was a good time across the board. You know, but I'm glad that was the last night of the trip, because if that was any other night, then 2 days of the trip would have been canceled. because that was a serious
fact. Would have wiped you out.
That's right, dude. That's right.
This guy in with a cranberry bourbon.
Yeah. First of all, at the expo, I did not order that cranberry bourbon. That was a mismade drink where the guy said, "Do you want a free drink?" And I said, "Of course." I was like, "Of course, I want a free drink." And he's like, "It's this." And I was like, "Oh well, jeez, dude. Like, you know, yeah, cranberry bourbon. That's not a real drink."
It could be seasonal this week.
That's going to be my team name in the. I'm changing my team name in the Besties Dino League to that. The cranberry
bourbon. There you go. Boy. Not the Dusty Bunch anymore.
Dude, can't be the Dusty Bunch when you're so good, bro. You're crushing. I'm steamrolling that league, bro.
Are you? Because I'm looking down at you right now. At least me and Rob are.
Yeah, I mean, steamroll. You don't have to be in first place to steamroll, dude. You just have to be a bit of bit of cranberry bourbon.
Yeah, I wasn't in first last year when I beat you in the championship. I'm just saying. It was so last year, though. We'll go past that.
My team is getting dusty. Yeah, I will say, dude.
But I'm glad you're back, Coop. We're glad to have you back. It's good to see you again. I'm glad you had a great time. Kev, you definitely had a great time this week, too. And I mean, there was a lot of things that happened this weekend that I was like, yep, Kev's smiling. Yep, Kev's smiling. I'll start going back all the way to Thursday because over your right shoulder, I think that's your right shoulder, right? That's your right shoulder. Is your boy number 9 right there who went off on Thursday? I know you were tweeting, you were happy, but then it was also a good week for Zero RB guys too, right? I mean, look at guys like Tony Pollard, Jamal Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, all like top 12, top 13 running backs this week. Kev, you had a lot to celebrate this week, did you not?
I mean, yeah. I did actually start Samaje Perine in Scott Fishbowl out of necessity. So I guess I don't know if I really want to victory lap that, but sure.
You victory lap that big time, bro. You got to.
I mean, it's not like I was made like a super like Samaje Perine is like my ace in the hole, but you know it's
gonna be funny because
that would have been a terrible take.
I would have been like fantasy receipts with that lining that up for few days, but
starting him, I will in your defense, starting him in an industry league where you have to start 11 players, but you know, it's like that is the one format where you're like, yeah, I made a good call here. So you do it, get a little whoop de doo, you know.
That's the highlight of my 8-12 team right now is starting Samaje Perine in the league I won't be making the playoffs in. But you know what? We're playing for pride, and we got a lot of pride in that three touchdown game for Perine. But yeah, Zero RB. Now there are a lot of, you know, Ramondre Stevenson's been awesome. Jamal Williams has been awesome. I've been going through a lot of these, and I'm going to put out either a tweet or it could be just a separate article about the state of Zero RB. The guys up at the top are the guys that we were drafting in the first four rounds. Like the Zero RB guys stick around, you know, in the weekly rankings, but they haven't had the upside of the main guys. Like if you look at the top 10, 12, it's the Ecklers, the Barkleys, McCaffrey, Chubb, Henry, Mixon, Aaron Jones, Fournette. These are all guys we drafted the first two rounds. The outliers are Ramondre Stevenson, Travis Etienne, who we had as a, you know, potential guy that could sneak up in there. And then obviously Josh Jacobs was a dead zone running back. And even Jamal Williams, with all the touchdowns that he has, is still RB15. So while they're giving you some weekly finishes, the cream has really risen to the top this year. We don't have like that James Robinson that can stick around as RB5. Like,
I wouldn't beat yourself up too much over it because you look at, all right, look at this week's wide receivers, right? In the top 10, Josh Palmer, DeMarcus Robinson, Wandale Robinson, who's now on the IR, Treylon Burks, Donovan Peoples Jones. But then when you look at the season long, the list is Diggs, Hill, Adams, Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, even on IR, Cooper Kupp is still wide receiver 5, which is absurd.
He's going to Derrick Henry this season and still finishes like wide receiver 9.
Jalen Waddle, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Christian Kirk. I'm a genius. Traded Aaron Jones for him straight up a couple years ago. Terrible trade. Terrible trade. That trade is still bad. That's how crazy it is. Christian Kirk can finish top 10 this year and next year, and that's still, I actually still made a bad trade. That's how bad that trade was.
Always for 2022.
Christian. Christian Kirk needs to become like Christian Kirk needs to be Marvin Harrison, where he has at age 27, he just has 8 years in a row with 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, right? Like, that's what I need right now out of Christian Kirk for that to be a good trade, but still.
He only needs to be a generational Hall of Famer. That's it.
Dude, just looking at this right now, which I didn't realize, Chris Olave's wide receiver 11 on the season.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Good God, mate. That's a beautiful thing.
Man, every time I see a dynasty question that's like Chris Olave, or I don't even finish reading it, I just respond with Chris Olave.
Pretty good answer.
I'm building my dynasty. That 32 team, 40 man roster league. Like, I have T. Higgins and Chris Olave that I'm just building my rebuild around, and I get the 1-on-1 next year because I got the team that's over. I have their first round pick, so I get to build. Put a franchise quarterback with those two receivers and just build from that core. So I'm super pumped about that.
Yeah, I think Olave could be the second best rookie wide receiver after the guy coming back this week off IR.
You think so? I like your tweet before that you were like, "Oh, good, my 3-8 teams are 5-9."
We're back.
Just in time, right?
I'm just saying. Hey, you could have the boat in Chris Olave. But what about the mystery box and Jamison Williams?
It's really funny too, because in like Dynasty League, I'll just go specifically to like my home Dynasty League where it's positionless, and having the first round pick and getting pissed that Sky Moore was taken ahead of me. Oh, I'll take Chris Olave. Like, okay. In the previous year, I had four first round picks and took Pitts, Chase, Waddle, Devonta Smith. So.
Bro, in one of my best dynasty league where I had one of the best startups of all time, the worst pick I made was drafting Ty Montgomery. And later in the draft, I was like, oh, I got to get one of these other guys as his backup. And then Jamal Williams went right before I picked. I was like, so mad. So the next round, I was like, whatever, I'll take this other guy, Aaron Jones or whatever. And like that's how it works, right? Like it's like the 49ers, they picked CJ Beathard in the actual draft, and then they were like, we'll just take whoever his tight end was, and it turned out to be George Kittle. Like, that is, sometimes it works like that, man. Like, one of my best picks was because I got sniped on Ty Montgomery's handcuff and was pissed that I didn't get, you know, what was it, Kev? You're a Packers fan. Jamal Williams got picked before Aaron Jones in the same draft.
Another running back, Devontae Mays, who was taken before both of them.
Yeah, and it was like, all right, fine, I'll just take this guy. The best pick I made.
Sometimes it bees like that. That's why this game is so fun, man. I mean, look at yesterday. Here's the thing from yesterday that we did not think would happen. Similar fashion, right? The Philadelphia Eagles were playing the Indianapolis Colts, coached by Jeff Saturday, who everyone's looking at as a joke. And they almost lost that football game. They almost lost that football game. And I'm not going to get into another Jeff Saturday rant like I did last week, because it took up a lot of time last week. But it was a lot of fun, because I am so Team Saturday right now, and I'm so Team Parks Frazier. Like, I would vote for Parks Frazier for president 2024, because I'm just so behind this guy right now. I want him to succeed. So these Colts had the Eagles with their backs against the wall. They almost pulled off the upset, but the game plan was beautiful. I mean, they had an even time of possession. They ran almost the exact same amount of plays as the Eagles that were like, you know, they're already in the Super Bowl. Everyone's already putting them in the Super Bowl, right? Like, Matt Ryan was efficient, 23 for 32. Jonathan Taylor ran 22 times, 84 yards. Like, it was a good game plan. It was a solid game plan put together by a guy who came out of the analyst booth, never coached past high school, and a 30-year-old offensive coordinator, play caller that never called plays at this level before. They're doing a good freaking job. So I hope that continues. I know the team's not going to go, you know, many places this year, but I'm rooting for their success. Whether they win games or not, I'm rooting for their success. So I was happy to see it.
Bro, here's the thing, man. Like, because this kind of stuff opens the doors for the next level. In baseball, it's already happened. You know what I mean? Like, people might remember there was a guy named Brandon Taubman, right? He was a assistant GM for the Astros, and he got fired for doing a very, very douchey rant on a reporter when he was the guy that signed the domestic violence closer for the team, right? Osuna. Forget what it was, Osuna. And then he did this like in your face thing to this like woman reporter, and he got fired for that. But people forget that that dude was a like Wall Street exec that got so good at FanDuel and DraftKings that he quit his job and just played FanDuel and DraftKings. That was his full-time job. And then he got hired to be a Moneyball dude. And then he became the assistant general manager of the Astros. Like, we're entering a world now where it's not crazy to think about some of these guys that maybe perhaps are unbelievably good at Madden. And like, just picturing, you know, like what the other team is doing pattern wise and figuring out how to counter that. Right. Like, I don't think that's too far off in the future, to be completely honest. Once we get out of this whole, you know, this whole tumble of nepotism and continually hiring Chan Gailey over and over and firing him over and over and Adam Gase, like at a certain point, we're going to have to look at it objectively and be like, you know what, dude, maybe there are people out here that are good at it. So I love that take, JB. Like, I'm so on board with it. Like, let's go hire, like, you know what, take some chances.
Yep. Absolutely. Moreno checked in here, Kev, with a question for us. He traded Justin Fields and Joe Mixon for CMC. He has Josh Allen, so he's saying he probably really didn't need Fields much. You know, you think he won the trade?
Yes, 100%. 100%, yes. Yeah.
Joe Mixon's banged up now, man. Joe Mixon, when he gets banged up, he stays banged up, man.
But it Fields is either day to day or out for the year, too. So,
yeah.
CMC, man.
And I'm not worried about CMC. A lot of people are worried about CMC because of the workload split last week. But you got to understand that he still played 20 more snaps. And I'm sure that's going to be or was in Kev's article also. But, you know, a part of that is he's still adjusting to a very delicate, intricate offense that he's still learning the bits and pieces of. So as he gets more familiar with the offense, he's going to be in those high-level situations that he was losing snaps in last week. So he's going to just continue to get more workload.
The hard part of the offense is the pass blocking scheme a lot of times, right? Like, getting the handoff is the easy part. Like, some of these schemes are tough. I've seen Marshawn Lynch talk about how, like, you have to, like, know what's like the counting system, and when guys shift, you have to know that the guy you're blocking might change, right? Right. That's how, like,
responsibility. Yeah,
exactly. It's a crazy scheme sometimes. So if Christian McCaffrey's getting all the pass snaps, I'm not worried about Christian McCaffrey actually at all. Running behind Trent Williams.
Forget it. Exactly. It's a great situation for him. I wanted Linda here because I wanted to give a shout out to kickers, but if she's not going to make it, I'm going to do it for her because Tyler Bass, and I'm using regular Yahoo scoring. I know some people were saying like Brett Maher had like 29 points, but in Yahoo scoring, Tyler Bass had 23 points. Brett Maher had 22 points. Kev, I think that's your kicker in the Besties Dynasty too, because I was looking at his stats and seeing who had him. But the sixth highest scoring quarterback going into Sunday Night Football had 22.2 points. So they would have been like the sixth and seventh highest scoring quarterbacks. They would have been wide receiver 5 on the week behind Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Josh Palmer, and T. Higgins. Like, kickers, bro. Like, kickers are relevant, and kickers definitely won people some weeks this week. Those are some sick performances.
I've been sneaking kickers into my Scott Fishbowl lineups. Haven't told Linda that. Don't want her to get too carried away, dude. So haven't told her, but I've had to sneak a couple in there.
I had him in Scott Fishbowl, too. It was feast or famine. It was either Maher or Nick Folk. And Folk didn't end so well.
You can't start Folk this week, dude. You should ask me, dude. I had to walk my dog in the morning on Sunday, bro. It was like, I thought I was going to get, I have a tree fall in my head, man. It was windy. Zach Wilson, man, he said a lot of things that people didn't like, but when he said it was windy, he was not messing around. It was windy as hell out here, dude. He was right about that. He was right about that.
He did well for me in Scott Fishbowl last year, but not so much this year. I don't have him this year. I have two kickers, I think, and I've been rolling out at least one a week lately. I do have some decisions to make though. And I think now, you know, it is looking like Colt McCoy over Kyler. I also have Hopkins. I had Hollywood Brown, who is not activated off IR. Kev, do you have the latest on what's going on with the quarterbacks there in Arizona? I do think it's going to be McCoy. Am I right?
Yeah, Kyler Murray was inactive, so McCoy is starting. I don't know if you guys saw them walking into the stadium, but Jimmy G looked great as usual.
That was rude. That was rude.
And Colt McCoy looked like a... I think Crystal Score said it best. I think he said he looks like Jimmy G's shoe shine boy.
It was not good, dude. It was not a good look, man. Hey,
he looked like a Penn salesman.
He still has the greatest name in all of football. I'll stand by that. Colt McCoy is such a strong football name. His name might as well be Football McTouchdown. Like Colt McCoy, Colt McCoy is one of the greatest football names there's ever been.
Yeah, if you name your kid Colt, his floor is a college football starting quarterback.
Yeah. But like, even McCoy, dude, Colt, should I go full on like Amon-Ra St. Brown? So their dad's name is John Brown, and he changed their name to St. Brown because it would look good on a jersey. Should I name my kid Colt McCooper?
No, that's Colt disrespectful. Colt McCooper. That's disrespectful for Mr. Cooper, who's the man, and you cannot alter his last name.
That's right. We haven't even talked about that since the wedding, man. Because I missed the show there, dude. Thank you so much for coming, man. I know tough for everybody to fly out from all over, but thanks for coming, man. Ani Koopy was a big fan of JB. Maybe the biggest JB Barry fan.
It was mutual. I had so much fun. First of all, it was just an honor to meet your family, and like they were so awesome. Like from your parents to Auntie Coop, and like everybody we were hanging out with. You know, our friend Doug was
Doug. Our friend Doug was. He was pumped, man. He was pumped to see you.
Like all these people that like I've known of, but I've never actually met. And bro, I don't get drunk like that. Like I got.
I know. I told you, dude.
Ripping up the dance floor. They have an after party. Bro, I'm almost 40 years old. I don't after party, but I was sitting by a bonfire slamming. You know,
we were playing dodgeball. We were playing dodgeball, dude. We were
playing basketball at 1 in the morning.
Bro, I don't think I hit a single shot. Dude, I put a lot of balls in the air, man. I was a little too drunk for that, dude. But I told you, JB, I'm not making these people up. I'm not making these stories up, dude. There's animals out here. There's animals out here. Awesome. Bro.
It was a great time. I appreciate you having us. It was great. It was awesome. And you know, I really enjoyed it. And we'll have a get together when all of us could play basketball together at 1 o'clock in the morning, hammered.
That's right. Expo, dude. That's why we need the expo for everybody. Everybody listening, watching, come to the expo. Your family, you're with the besties, your fam, come hang out with us. It is fun. So come chill.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll let you guys know that I'm coming ahead of time this time.
Please. Although that was pretty epic when you came down the stairs. That was pretty lit. Yeah.
Your reaction was pretty dope. You hit the floor.
floored though. I was literally floored.
You literally were floored. But let's get back to football, guys, because people want to hear us talk about football. We can have fun all we want, but we have teams that are kind of teetering on the verge of, like, are they legit or not, right? Like, we know the teams like the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Bills and even the Dolphins. Like, we know they're good teams. But do you think that these teams are legit contenders or do you think they're pretenders? Let's start with the 7-3 Baltimore Ravens. Lamar's been struggling a little bit. But, Coop, do you think they're legit? Do you think they're contenders or do you think they're pretenders?
I honestly think that they – and I talked about this with Pat Fitzmaurice. We got a show coming out tomorrow morning. I got really in depth in this, but I think they're a little they've fallen to the same problem that the Steelers of years past have, where you lean too heavily on a couple guys. Right, the Steelers used to be the best team on paper every year, and then one of Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, or Big Ben would get hurt, and they wouldn't win. Right, and this team trading Marquise Brown away. Like, you think you just need to have one wide receiver and you can just replace him with another good wide receiver? Well, what happens when that guy goes down? I am seriously concerned that they just don't have the firepower that you need. I mean, you look at a few teams last year that look at the teams that were actually competing. The Cowboys and the Rams and the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Like, these teams had serious cannons on the team, dude. Like the Rams won because they went out and traded for Odell when they lost one of their guys. The Ravens do not have that those kind of weapons. And DeMarcus Robinson and Devin Duvernay are going to get gobbled up. Imagine them having to play in the Super Bowl against Darius Slay and James Bradbury. It's not going to happen, dude. It's not going to happen, bro. So they didn't make enough moves at the deadline. They don't have enough guys coming back. It's not going to happen for the Ravens. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. Kev, I mean, I know that you like a running game, and their running game hasn't even been good, right? So it's like, what do you do with that team? They can't establish the run with banged up backfield, and now you have injuries on the pass catching side of things too. I mean, they got to be in trouble, no?
Yeah, they're too top heavy for me, like Coop said, you know, about Bateman. You know, you lose him, and then what else do you have? Like, Green Bay is like the perfect. They trade Devontae Adams and then replace him with a bunch of rookies or dollar store, you know, replacements like Sammy Watkins. So, you know, of course they're in trouble. So the Ravens are no different. You lose Jake, you know, you think you have J.K. Dobbins coming back, you think you have Gus Edwards coming back, and then you don't have either. You're just banking on retreads like you did last year, and then you don't even have the passing game compliments to back it up too. So I mean, there's a reason why Lamar Jackson's struggling. Like, he doesn't have broad enough shoulders to be able to carry this team to, you know, 13-14 wins and expecting them to make a deep playoff run. Like, their defense isn't even, like, their defense is fine, that's passable if you have your full complement of offensive talent, but right now, like, they're just, I feel like they're a team that's poised. If they make the playoffs, they're gonna get blown out like 42-10.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I do think they do make the playoffs. I think the defense is good enough. I think that Lamar, Andrews, and even Duvernay, who's had a pretty decent season, can get them to the playoffs with their 7-3 head start. I just don't think they'll be able to do much from there. Blurpy is asking a question in the chat. I assume that he's shooting for the playoffs. He's trying to get KW3 and might be able to trade Kamara for him 1-for-1. I would trade Kamara for Walker. I would not trade Cook for Walker. What about you guys?
I don't know if I'd trade Kamara either, man. Now that we know he's not going to get suspended, that was the concern for me all along, is that maybe they let the court date hit, but they already pushed it out. It's already pushed it all the way out, so I'm sticking.
I don't like these 1-for-1 at the same position. I just think it's just too lateral a move.
Like, it's skeevy, bro. It's skeevy. Like,
it lets the other guy know. So what do you know that I don't?
Exactly. If you're gonna send me a 1-for-1, I'm like, what are your intentions? I'm like a girl at the club, like, protecting the other girl. What is that move where you're like, what are your intentions, boy? You know what I mean? I'm out there. I'm like, what's going on here, dude?
You're
what's
the guy situation? With the sunglasses in front of the door.
Yeah,
the
exactly. I'm like, bye weeks are over, baby. What is the move here? What's going on, dude? Why are you being able to pull this move? You know? So I'm like, once the bye weeks have gone by for both these teams, what's the advantage of trading straight up? Besides that dude trying to flex on you. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't believe in Kamara's offense. I mean, that offense, we saw, I mean, they look good this week, but they're not doing much there. And he does still have a bye. He still has a week 14 bye. And
leading up to that okay. Bye, well, yeah, I guess I messed that up then. So I guess maybe that would be the case.
But check this out. He's got the Rams. Then he's got San Fran. Then he's got Tampa Bay before a bye. Like, those are three tough matchups heading into a bye. Probably three of the toughest matchups that you could have, or three of the toughest matchups.
Then they still have Cleveland and Philly, too, after.
Yeah. So if Blurpy's fighting for a playoff spot right now, I might trade Kamara and take Walker, who has a more favorable schedule also.
Yeah, well, just if you want to do that, just don't be surprised when Kamara pulls the old Alvin Kamara and scores 6 touchdowns championship week like he did a couple years ago.
Against Philly this year? I don't think that's going to happen.
But maybe.
Maybe is right. Moreno wants to know if we'd rather have CMC or Eckler. That's kind of close.
I would go. I don't know. I think I would go Eckler just because Elijah Mitchell, it does split the run snaps.
Yeah, you can't go wrong either way, but I slightly lean Eckler.
I lean the better offensive environment right now, because now we're looking at probably Mike Williams being either out for the season or you're not even going to be able to get him for fantasy purposes. Keenan Allen's back, but, you know, and if Josh Palmer's going to really step up, yeah, and that's a feather in their cap. But yeah, the Chargers are just so snake bitten right now. At least the 49ers are seemingly putting it more together right now. So I think there's going to be more high value touches for CMC there. So that's why I kind of lean him. But
yeah.
I think both. There's no loser, honestly.
Both are good choices.
The 49ers have the best player in the entire league.
Trent Williams.
Right. Loop's checking in from the happiest place on earth. What's up, Loop? Thanks for joining
us.
Hey.
Football world after all.
I hope you send us all Mickey ears, Loop. We want Mickey ears delivered to each of our houses.
Please. Actually, I don't want a Mickey ear. Send me a churro.
Ooh, I want a churro.
Yo, scratch that. You said Kev Mickey ears. Two churros, one Mickey ears. Or you want a churro too, Kev?
I mean, the stomach ain't for show.
Round of churros. Round of churros all around. Let's go. Let's go, boy. Like, yeah.
All right, back to contenders, pretenders, Kev. Tennessee Titans are 7-3 also. This is a team that never gets respect. This is a team that, like, nobody gives credit to, but yet they're always finding a way to win football games and make the playoffs. Tennessee Titans, Kev, contenders or pretenders?
They are the biggest smoke and mirrors team that I've ever seen. And, like, there is nobody that is more important to their team success than Derrick Henry is. Like, he is like what Aaron Rodgers has been to the Packers, who masks plenty of deficiencies in their team. Derrick Henry is that for the Titans. So, I mean, if Treylon Burks is going to be at least a passable receiving weapon and Tannehill's going to not shit the bed like he has for pretty much the last half of last year and then the first half of this year before he got hurt, like, they can tread water, and their defense is always going to play, you know, way better with the sum of their parts. But that division, I mean, Tennessee's going to come out of it, but I don't know. They're going to prove me wrong again, because I'm going to shit all over them, and then they're going to end up getting to, like, the AFC Championship game against, like, I don't know, the Bills, and take them, like, to the wire, because that's what always happens. But, you know, I can't buy it. I can't buy it, but I would not be surprised if, like, Derrick Henry reels off, like, 4 200-yard games in a row, just despite.
Yeah. It's like the Steelers thing I talked about earlier, except it's concentrated to one dude. And I can't help but think about, like, the old quote where somebody asked Tom Moore. They were like, why doesn't Peyton Manning's backups play more? And he said, fellas, if 18 goes down, then we are fucked. And we don't practice. Yeah. He's like, we don't practice fucked. So they were like, all right, dude, like, there you go. Like, and that's it with the Titans. It's like, Derrick Henry goes down, they're toast. I mean, they might already be toast. They got to get some guys back. I mean, like, their center's been hurt, right? Ben Jones been hurt. Bud Dupree, like, a bunch of guys been out, man. Like, if they don't get these guys back, but, like, they do have some monsters, man. Jeffrey Simmons
is
a good player, bro. Yeah. That dude, that's an example of a team doing their homework, because he had the domestic stuff, they said, right? And he tore his ACL, and the doctor said the ACL will be fine. And when you look into the domestic thing, he was on video, like, hitting a woman, but, like, that apparently in the situation, that woman was, like, seriously, like, hurting his mom. So he only stepped in for that reason. And when they did their homework on the guy, it turns out he's a really good guy and he works hard and his knee's fine. And now he's going to be an All-Pro for years and years and years. So sometimes you do have to, sometimes, people are complicated, and it's not always a situation where the guy's a bad guy. And it turns out that they got a steal. They drafted him in the first round with a torn ACL. And it was a great pick. So good for them.
Yeah, you're right. They do their homework. They get the best out of their players. And they're in a division, like you mentioned, Kev. They're in a division that, like, they're going to walk away from, I mean, pretty easily this year. I mean, they have a pretty favorable schedule coming up, too. So this is a playoff team. And they always seem to surprise you. Like, this is a team that, like, it never passes the eye test because it's boring, right? They hand it off to Derrick Henry. He runs people over and they win a game 16-13 or something, you know? Like, so it's never fun, but they always get it done. So, I mean, I'd call them contenders, but not exciting ones.
It's too easy to take away. That's why I think it's not going to work. It doesn't work because, like, think about, they beat the Patriots. Bill Belichick tried super hard to take away what they wanted to do. And then they were gassed, man. Like, you can't brute force it like that. You got to have more, I think.
Yeah.
Got to have more. So I don't think they have enough to go the distance, but I think they could bury people on the way. It's like the you know what I mean? The Bulldozer can't make it all the way, but they could take out some big teams, man. They could take out the Chiefs, you know, like they could, before it grinds to a halt, that team could be a real problem. So
yeah, it just takes literally one or two breaks and then they're right there, and then they have them where they want them.
Yeah, I just think it's tough for them to go all the way. It's tough for them to beat all the teams because there are some teams that are, I think, just built better, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Dallas Cowboys are one of those teams. The Cowboys looked awesome yesterday, dismantling the Vikings. They're 7-3, and the Giants are also 7-3 in the same division. They're both looking up at Philly, but both of these teams are 7-3 in the NFC East. I think one's a contender and one's a pretender. What do you think, Coop?
Yeah, if they're I just said it with my mannerisms there. The Giants are frauds, bro. I love Saquon Barkley, man. He's a beast. He says all the right things. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, man. He's going to play for a long time because that's the attitude he has. But the Cowboys just have they spread it out so much better, right? It's not all CeeDee Lamb. Now it's not even all just one running back or the other, right? They got the good lineman. They got Dak. What do you mean? So Zeke's hurt, right?
Yeah. How about the other guy?
They got Tony Pollard. Oh, Tony Pollard's amazing, man. But even Gallup, Noah Brown, Dalton Schultz almost caught a touchdown pass. And then on defense, dude. Defense, bro. Parsons and Lawrence. And all these guys are coming hard, batting down passes. Dorrance Armstrong batting the ball down. You know, it's like, dude, they got Kevontae Turpin running back kicks. You know what I mean? It's like they got everything, though. It's like compared to some of these other teams that are one dimensional, I think they could afford to lose a running back. They could afford to lose any wide receiver that's not CeeDee Lamb. You know what I mean? They could afford to lose Dalton Schultz. I saw enough out of Peyton Hendershot and Jake Ferguson that I don't think it's even that I don't think that's the end of the world for them, you know? So I think the team's got enough to rock and roll. I'd love to hear a reason the Giants could do it. I just, two teams, 7-3 in the same division, I can't look at them the same way. I don't know, Kev. Do you think the Giants, can you think they could do it on the power of coaching?
No. No, I mean, in Dallas might not even be done adding. They are the front runner in the Odell Beckham sweepstakes. So add another, you know, potential weapon into that. Like the when Dak Prescott came back, like they still were run heavy. They didn't just start throwing the ball 70% of the time. Like, no, they just kept their, kept going with how they were winning games, and it's worked. Like Dak Prescott doesn't have to like Superman, this team into 40-38 shootouts. Like this team has enough on the ground with Tony Pollard and fullback Ezekiel Elliott. And then they have, Zeke Elliott's fine.
Tony Pollard's stud though, man. And the thing is, to your point, Kev, like we've seen all the really good teams, the really, really good ones are not that great for fantasy, where like we've seen it with your Packers, where they're willing to just run teams in the ground. We've seen the Patriots dink and dunk with Brady. We've seen even the Bucks have games where they just run all over guys. And we've seen like Peyton Manning had 1 year where he threw like 48 touchdowns for the Colts. They won 12 games. The next year, Edgerrin James was a monster and they were better on defense. And he only threw like 28 touchdown passes. And like, sometimes that's what really wins is when, you know, the Patrick Mahomes throwing 50 touchdown passes, that wasn't the team that won, right? Yeah. It was the next team. So,
yeah. I mean, I liked what I saw. They're a balanced team. You know, you talked about all the phases of the game that they play well, that they're throwing, they're running, they're playing defense. Like they're doing it all. Obviously we talked about their kicker. So, you know, you even brought up their special teams return, man. Like this is a team that has it all together. So I think this is a legit contender and a legit Super Bowl contender, not just a playoff team. Like this team could go all the way. I liked how they utilized the backfield. You know, Tony Pollard played great the last few weeks, but he can't get those short yardage touchdowns. You saw it yesterday. First and goal from the one, he slammed into the back of the line twice. They brought in Zeke. He pounded it in. Like, they need that bigger back to do that. And I think that's a role that Zeke's going to play. Pollard was catching his touchdown passes. he was taking like long plays out of the passing game. I do think he's going to get his rushing work, obviously, but I do still think Zeke has a role as that short yardage back, if not more than that. I mean, Liam's asking us in the chat our thoughts on Zeke the rest of the season. That's my thought on him. And Moreno wants to know if he should trade Swift for Zeke. These are two guys that we don't know what the heck.
I don't know. If it's half, if it's standard or half, I would, honestly. Zeke and Jamal Williams might be the same dude right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Although Jamal Williams had zero receptions, Zeke at least had one for 5 yards. I mean, Tony Pollard on that wheel route, though, you're not going to get a cleaner wheel route than that.
Right.
Then he put that. That's not even a bad linebacker. He just put him in the dust. Right. Yeah. Like, so
Jamal Williams hasn't earned a target since the Carter administration. Like,
which is crazy because he was a great pass catcher for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, he does.
It's not his role.
Got too deep in the. Got too deep in the anime.
Great game, though, for real.
It happens. The number one. He's my number one.
Last one I want to ask you about, guys. Minnesota Vikings. They got dismantled yesterday by these Cowboys, but they're still 8-2. So I do think that they can make the playoffs, but are they contenders or pretenders?
I'm going to fully defer to Kev on this one.
I just think they're just they're hot when they're hot, but they're cold when they're cold. Like, there is no middle ground with the Vikings. Like, I'm just not sure. I mean, if Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy to lead this team to any further playoff, getting deep into the playoffs. And also, I think they're like a wide receiver away, honestly. Like, the end is coming for Adam Thielen. And I know Kevin O'Connell certainly, went out and got a tight end. I feel like they're a wide receiver away and honestly, probably a quarterback away when you think about it. I mean, Kirk Cousins has got a lot of money coming to him, but I mean, they're kind of hamstrung by that a little bit. I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's not quite Matt Ryan-esque, but it ain't great. So,
dude, every article I wrote, every step of the way, I rate the offseason ones. I'm like, Kevin O'Connell's here, 3 wide receiver sets. They got to add a wide receiver. Right. And then they didn't do it in free agency. And there was like, okay, draft's coming. They have 2 picks where they could add a wide receiver. Didn't do it. It's like, now we look at it, that's why I was so in on Adam Thielen. I'm like, obviously they believe in Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne because it's a 3 wide receiver offense. Right. Yeah. And then turns out
still so hyper condensed too. Like that's I tweeted about it. Like that is a Kevin O'Connell trait more than like a team trait.
But they didn't build it right, right? It's like they should have traded CJ Ham for anything, for nothing, because the offense doesn't use a fullback, right? Yeah, right. It's like they're forcing him into there. It's, you're making up plays that you didn't use when you won the Super Bowl, Kevin O'Connell. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why don't you run the offense? Like, why don't you build the personnel? Why don't you build the right personnel for the offense you want to run? It blows my mind, man. So I don't know.
Being a nice guy, it's like he's trying to be too nice of a guy for the guys that were there, and trying to square peg round hole it.
Shouldn't have done it. Should have pushed that. That's on the GM, obviously, as the person who builds. He's supposed to build it, but still, But on the flip side, I would love to see the Vikings win it all, just to see Kirk Cousins on whatever parade float or whatever they put him on or whatever. Oh my God. Just to see the nonsense, just the absolute like insanity, boiled steaks on the grill and, thanking the Lord, comparing himself to Moses or whatever he likes to do. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That would be phenomenal.
I don't think it's Cousins that's the problem. Like this is coming from a guy who watched Brad Johnson lead his team to a championship, but this team does not have the defense that those Bucks did. This team does not have the defense that the Trent Dilfer Baltimore Ravens had. You know what I mean? So like,
no one has those defense, bro. Yeah, like.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you could win with
Simeon Rice ain't walking through that door, bro.
Derek Brooks, John Lynch,
right? But you can win with a dominant defense.
Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice. Like this, you're talking about. Then the other defense you name was Ed Reed and. And Ray Lewis.
Look at San Francisco this year. I call San Francisco a contender this year, even though Jimmy G is a Kirk Cousins type quarterback, but their defense is there. They have playmakers there. They have a run game. They have defense. Like, that can win you a championship with a Kirk Cousins like quarterbacks.
So, yeah, they have one of the best lines. We have the best one of the offensive lines in the league.
Chips down. Are you comfortable with Kirk Cousins getting you a score when you need it?
Yeah. But I know he dug that hole himself, though. That's
the problem. Certainly, but you know.
The question isn't whether Kirk can get the touchdown when he needs it, because he does do that. It's whether he digs too big of a hole before it happens. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think Jimmy G doesn't dig the holes the way that Kirk does, dude. Like, no. Jimmy G doesn't throw the pick sixes and stuff the way
that Kirk does. But if Kirk's receiving core was Justin Jefferson, Chris Godwin, and Donovan Peoples-Jones, I'd feel pretty confident that Kirk Cousins could get it done.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So you got to build the tools around him like you're talking about. Like, I don't think it's Kirk. I think there's more that he would be
able to get it done. But Jimmy G also is making quite a bit less money, even with Trey Lance. Like,
and he doesn't have to do as much from the quarterback position than Cousins does, I feel like.
I have a hard time picturing Kirk Cousins stringing enough games together. They need a bye. They need that bye week real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
I think they do, man.
But
I think they need it bad.
But this is Thanksgiving week. And we're giving thanks. We're giving thanks to players that are going to lead us to championships, guys. And we're going to do this for our viewers, too. So, like, I want to just quickly touch on a couple of guys that you think are going to lead fantasy managers to championships. So it's kind of like, let's call it the gravy train, right? Because we're Thanksgiving this week, right? So who's going to be the guys that our fantasy managers can ride on the gravy train to fantasy championships? Couple guys that I like from the running back positions. And I'm looking at schedules, right? So I look at Najee Harris, what he did this week. Finally looked like Najee again. He's got Indy, Atlanta, Baltimore, Carolina, Vegas, and Baltimore again. So it's not that tough of a schedule. And he's getting the carries. Warren got banged up a little bit yesterday. So I think the workload's there for him. I think the schedule's favorable. Jeff Wilson, who was on bye this week, he's got Houston. Then he's got a tough game against San Fran. But then he's got the Chargers, Buffalo, Green Bay. Not tough matchups. I think Jeff Wilson could be a potential league winner. And we talked about Derrick Henry before. Derrick Henry's playoff schedule, guys, for fantasy playoffs, he's got Jacksonville, the Chargers, and Houston weeks 14 through 16. Like, that's going to just guide you through the fantasy playoffs. So, like, if the trade deadline is today, like, before the 8:15 start of the games, go offer up for Derrick Henry if you're trying to win through the playoffs. He does have Dallas championship week, but that's a hell of a playoff schedule for him. I mean, I love that for Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry doesn't have Dallas championship week. He does. That sucks. I wish he had the Texans championship week, because he's had over 200 yards against them four games in a row or something, yeah. 3 games in a row.
He's got them week 16, so that's your semis to get to the championship. You're getting that, so I love that for him. A couple of guys with good matchups. What about you, Coop? Who are you riding the gravy train to a championship?
Dude, so the thing with matchups a lot of time is that it ends up being the best laid plans of mice and men, you know, because it's like you think that it's a good matchup and then all of a sudden things change along the way. I don't get as deep into the matchups as you might, but I will say that I feel good about where TJ Hockenson is right now. He, like, the way they have it set up, and we're talking, he gets Jets, Lions, Colts, Giants, like, he's fine. Right. The only bump in the road might be championship week when he runs it to Devondre Campbell, who, you know, depends what the Packers want to do sometimes, but they're going to have their hands full with Justin Jefferson and the gang. I think that Kev's right that Adam Thielen is just not, he's not the guy he was. And Hawk, you know, his usage, even this week in a tough matchup, got a ton of targets, right? Like 10 targets. He's gotten 9 or 10 targets every week. So TJ Hockens is a guy is that if I have him, or if I haven't had a trade deadline yet, and you can still sneak him in there, man, like, there are only so many guys you can feel good about. Think about it. Waller, Dust, Ertz, out. Goddard, out. Andrew's been banged up. Kelsey, the king of the world. But you're not getting Kelsey. You know what I mean? So, like, outside of that, there's no one you can really trust. TJ Hockenson, man, there is nothing else in the world you can exchange for 10 targets a game.
Yep, so. I like it. And I have to ask you, Coop, and just give me a quick answer because we're up against it, and I want Kev to get his in and get to that Kevin Tompkins injury report. But Tyler Higbee, you talked about how banged up the tight end position is. We saw Higbee have an early part of the season where he was getting targets. Then he stayed in to block like every single play for a couple weeks. And he came back out this week without Cooper Kupp in the mix and got 8 targets again, which is the Higbee we see the rest of the year, asking for someone who just traded Hockenson to improve at other positions and needs a tight end between Higbee and Juwan Johnson.
The Higbee we're going to see is this Higbee. Where like I straight up said it. Dude, go through my Reddit comments, go through my Twitter comments. I said he's going to get peppered with targets. He's going to catch a couple passes for a very small number of yards because this guy, his ADOT, his average depth of target, is not even in the top 90 tight ends. There's only like 115 to 120 tight ends that have even gotten one target. The dude's not in the top 90. He's 93, or he was 93 going into this week. Like, this dude is running loser sit down routes. He doesn't break tackles. He's slow as molasses. Like, feeding 8 targets to that guy. I just said there's nothing you're going to change for targets, but though, like, it is just such a trap. This week was the biggest trap game of all time because he played the best tight end defense that there is. The Saints are a big problem. I know people talk about the Cowboys being a tough one. They're tough too, but like, Tyler Higbee is not the answer, man. It is trying to pivot to him because Cooper Kupp got hurt is the, if that was how this game worked, then we wouldn't have jobs doing what we're doing right now because it would just be easy and it wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Tyler Higbee stinks and he's also racist.
All right. So Tyler Higbee is not going to be riding anybody on the gravy train.
How about that?
Kev, who you got on your gravy train?
Yeah, I'm looking to a couple AFC North teams, actually. I really like for like wide receivers and, you know, kind of a quarterback matchup too for Cincinnati going up against Tennessee in week 12, Kansas, and they might likely getting Jamar Chase back in week 12 as well. So Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland, Tampa at New England still. But I think those are matchups with how well Joe Burrow is doing right now. If they're going to be without Mixon, I mean, that pass rate is going to spike even more. You know, that would probably be more of a next week thing against Tennessee. But and then Cleveland, they're going to get Deshaun Watson back in a couple weeks, too. And that offense has been doing a lot better than we all thought with Jacoby Brissett, and Amari Cooper has been pretty damn good this year and pretty consistent, if you ask me. I mean, if he's playing home games, but yeah, I mean, I like him and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, their schedule is pretty favorable too. Tampa at Houston, at Cincy, Baltimore, and then at week 17 at Washington is pretty good. That Cincinnati matchup, of course, without Cheetah Bay Awuzie. Can't believe I said that right. Thank you, nice. Linda, for that. But
Cheeto boy.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, those two teams, if you're rostering any like the Donovan Peoples-Jones, Mari Coopers, Chase, Boyd, Higgins, even like the Hayden Hurst, if Jamar Chase remains out, do like those quite a bit. So those would be the two kind of teams I would target a little bit there.
I like those, Kev, especially as somebody who rosters a ton of Joe Burrow in leagues that I'm making playoff pushes in. I really like to hear you say that. So I appreciate that, especially with Joe Mixon out. You said it. I mean, they're going to be passing more. And Mixon's injury, I know it's a concussion, but I don't know what to expect from him. But I know somebody who might. It's the Kevin Tompkins injury report. What?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Coop.
You scared him.
Coop, what the?
I'm sorry. I thought we were supposed to shut our cameras off for the video.
No, I had a wardrobe change. But anyway, it is the Kevin Tompkins injury report, of course. We have Joe Mixon, who we just talked about. The doctor is in, by the way, not a real medical doctor, of course. Yeah, ended up with 62 total yards before he did leave with a concussion. Of course, Samaje Perine caught 3 passing touchdowns from Joe Burrow. So if he does miss that game against the Titans, I mean, though, good Lord with those glasses.
Wardrobe changes, I thought we were doing.
Like, I was so like, on off, on off. I mean, I think it's not a stretch to say Piran would be in the top 15, 17 running backs, you know, if he were to get that gig for another week against Tennessee. So, and Matthew Stafford entered concussion protocol. Some dude named, was it Bryce Perkins, entered the game. I mean, I think they just grabbed him from the stands, but yeah, does not look good for the Rams. If and this is a lost season at this point, but yeah, the thing is, Stafford kind of, it was kind of like the Christian Watson thing where they took him out. He may not even have had a concussion, so he could still be available for week 12 there. It could be either Bryce Perkins or John Wolford for some reason, if they just keep him out for an abundance of caution, or if they want to tank with their draft pick that they don't have. Mike Williams re-aggravated his high ankle injury, which really sucks. He made a nice catch and then just got off the field. Dude's cursed. I mean, we don't know if this is going to be season ending or not, but at the very least, you're probably looking at another 2-3-4 week timeline, which we're already on the doorstep of week 12. So we're talking, you, when he comes back, you would be starting him in the playoffs if he got there. So very, very bad, but at the very least, I guess the Chargers have Keenan Allen back. So there's that. Kyle Pitts was the bad season. Poor one out for number eight, because tore his MCL, likely out for the season. He is going to get a second opinion on that, whether it will require surgery or not. So Wandale Robinson also out for the season with a knee injury. He had 13 targets on 100 yards. I mean, what a way to go out, I suppose, but very bad for the Giants. I mean, right now it was Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton out there anyway. So the fact that now the Giants are even more up against it with their receiving core, with just Slayton looking like that guy in that receiver room. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire did suffer a high ankle sprain. He hasn't been getting a lot of snaps with Isaiah Pacheco working his way in. So I'm not super concerned about CEH's, what kind of workload he would get, because he was on the wrong end of that workload split anyway, with Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco getting stuff over him. So yeah. And then also the Kadarius Toney experience suffered a setback with a hamstring injury in that Sunday night game too. So I know everybody on Twitter was kind of mad about that, but you know what? We all got rugged on Kadarius Toney. So it is what it is. And again, not a doctor, just play what on the stream.
Good job.
Love it. Important, man. Kadarius Toney, dude. Oh.
I feel like I was one of the few people that weren't like gung-ho about Toney this week. Like, I thought his involvement would obviously increase, but you know, he's still fairly new to this offense. He doesn't have Mahomes' trust. Like, I mean, I called a Justin Watson touchdown because I just love Justin Watson. He didn't score, but he was productive. He got his targets, and you saw guys that were involved in this offense that offense. So Sky Moore, exactly.
Being a huge Bucks homer and loyalist to former Bucks is not analysis jail.
No, it's JB. Not. But he went
mixing shows.
That's the jail move.
No, man.
That's like on our morning show where I have to be like, every morning I'm like, all right, did he play for Clemson? All right, you can take it down a notch, because both Jail and Simon went to Clemson. But you're right though. Justin Watson, in your defense, he did play 40 plus snaps, and Sky Moore played 16 the week before last. So it's a good call,
Jim. Watson has the chemistry with Mahomes, and Mahomes even said in the preseason, like, he was working with him in the preseason. He likes him. He's a smart guy. He's an Ivy League dude. So, like, he's a guy you want on your team. He knows how to run routes. But, yo, the Joe Mixon thing scares me, Kev, because I really hope that he can come back for next week, because my Sky Fishbowl team just squeaked into the playoffs, and my two starting running backs this week were Joe Mixon, who got injured yesterday, and Melvin Gordon, who got cut today. So if Joe Mixon doesn't play, I'll be starting Jeff Wilson and either Rex Burkhead, Travis Homer, or Mark Ingram in my playoff matchup next week.
You should be allowed to donate that playoff spot to charity.
Yeah, I would.
It's a needy team. Yeah, how many kickers are you starting?
Probably three next week.
It's no, getting my wide hot.
Over under 2.5 yeah. kickers.
Who do you got a wide receiver? Who do you got a wide receiver?
Receivers are pretty loaded. I got Hollywood when he comes back, obviously. I got Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Darius Slayton, who's been playing well. So, Dusty, you know, I got guys there. I got Dulcich at tight end. I do have Zerline and Cade York as my kickers. So, like, I'm winning games. I put up 133-something right now, and I still got Colt McCoy to go because I have Kyler and McCoy. So,
dude, you should see our division for the Scottish Bowl. It was all Boston dudes, and the way they set it up, it was like – so – my buddy Drew McDonald, Meat Mansion, the guy who had brain surgery, he came with me, ended up in my same league, right? So he's using my rankings. I was like, there's no chance they put him in the same league as me. He picked two picks away from me, right? So he's in my league, right? In my actual league. Also in my league, podcast co-host and the dude I've worked with in the industry longer than anybody, John Mpemba, in my league, knows all the people I'm picking. Yep. Also in my league, Mike Fiella, Daddy's Home, who literally just made all his picks by going on my Twitter and looking at all the articles I wrote. Yeah. And then to top the whole thing off, Bob Gilchrist, who is running the whole thing, was just walking around. And at one point, he just picked up my rankings and was like, oh, I'm on the clock. I'll take this guy. So, like, I think every single team in our league is 6-4, except for Frank Duffy, who just crushed. So, like, good Lord, man. Yeah. The Boston live draft was an absolute bloodbath.
My division's really good. We might have like 7 or 8 teams make the playoffs. So shout out to the Kuala Lumpur division. I mean, they've been crushing it. It's been a very competitive division. But we got a competitive game that's kicked off. We got the 49ers at the Cardinals. I know there's a lot to look forward to. Personally, like, I have 5 or 6 matchups that are like hinging on this game. There's a lot of fantasy implications here, and some of them are big matchups that, like, I need wins. So I tweeted it out this morning what I need. So check out my Twitter and let me know what you think. It's going to be some tough ones. And I also need San Fran to win the game because Reyna's going to win her work pick'em if San Francisco wins. So we'll finally win a week there. What are you guys looking forward to?
Dude, all I care about is Reyna winning her league. She's an angel, and she needs to hear that because she lets us do this, and she's a sweet angel, and she told me what pie to steal in the pie draft from you, which was a power move.
So. And she had a blast.
Kev, you got any new shout out?
I want to see how Trey McBride works into this offense. Other than that, catch up on sleep maybe because it is Colt McCoy versus Jimmy Garoppolo. So.
Hey, I'm hoping
in Mexico, by the way.
Yep. Yeah. 4 out of the 5 that I posted, I'm going into it with the lead, so I am hoping for low scoring, Kev.
Yeah. Drink every time you see somebody point a laser pointer on the field today.
Right?
Drink it. Take a sip of beer every time you see a laser pointer or someone blasting a vuvuzela. The one of those horns that are like yeah. That's what these games are, right?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
I just need less than combined like 50 points from Connor and Ayuk in King's Classic because Travis Kelce put me over the top of 3 touchdowns last night. So I will not likely not be taking first thanks to Marcus Grant. But we're going to be 8-3, I believe. So
hell yeah, dude.
Find me at the expo. I'll be the one holding the big ass championship belt.
Yeah. My man. Final thoughts for this week, guys, is everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. You know, enjoy the time, watch some football, eat some food, spend some time with friends and family, enjoy yourself. We're going to be back here as always next week. So it's always great to have you. Thank you for all joining in, chiming in the chat. Thank you to Razzball for hosting us over on the YouTube channel. Check out the Razzball YouTube page. Check out the Fantasy Besties Twitter page. Check out Razzball.com. For Kevin, for Coop, for Linda, and Loop, I'm JB Barry. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Monday.